been trying to preach the gospel, as the late Brother J.A. Thornton said. And you know Brother J.A. Thornton, I think he's preached meetings here. Days gone by. He was from over at Boonville, down at New Albany for many years, about 16 years there. Went back to New Albany and then went back to Boonville to finish up his career and work there. He used to tell a story about when he was beginning to preach. And he said, I got up to preach a sermon one morning, and he said, it just absolutely was the worst mismatch of any words that a human being could say. He said, I just had the middle and the beginning and the beginning and the end. And he said, I just don't know what it did. But he said, but I took my usual spot right at the back door to shake the hands of people as they went out. And he said, commonly, there would be people saying, nice job today. I know you worked hard at this today and that sort of thing. And he was thinking all the time how pitiful that was. He just didn't understand it himself. And he said, this little lady who was barely 4'10" came out. And she reached up and took him by the neck and pulled him down to where she was speaking to his ear. And said, Brother Thornton, I got something really good out of that sermon today. He says, till this good day, I don't know what she got out of it that was good. But he said, I know what she gave me. She gave me a word of encouragement that I should try again. And he said, I've continued to try to preach as I've gone through the years. Well, I've tried to preach over these last now 56 years of time. Started my 57th year last 2 months ago in August. I've tried to learn some things from God's Word and teach them and share them with others. And people enjoy the lessons that I do, it seems like. It seems like I get invited to places to go and opportunities to be a part of meetings with people, and I thank you for this invitation to be with you today and throughout this week. Growing in the love of God is the theme that Torah's desire, and it's a great, great theme of God's Word. I want to note in regard to this matter, this passage that's been read in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. You'll notice in regard to this, the beloved John adds to the thoughts in 1 John 3 and verses 18 through 22, the commandments of God are not grievous. They are not grievous. Jesus did not ask us to obey grievous commands, but commands that would redeem us, deliver us, make us free, make us with peace and joy within our hearts. Fill us with a great hope of eternal life. Jesus' commandments are those commandments that will not bring us stings of sin. But there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The question is asked and is answered. O grave, where is thy sting? O grave, O grave, O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why, the victory over the grave, and therefore the victory over the sting of sin, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of his resurrection from the dead, he made a hope for you and for me. And no wonder we should see that the idea of the grievousness of wrongdoing is a sting to our lives. It's God's way of reminding us as we go along life's highway. When we thought the wrong thoughts driving down the road, being passed by somebody, made real close and real road rage, we can think about, rather than an ugly word and a mean-spirited word, we can think about a word of forgiveness. We can think about a word of praise for God, that we can back off of that. We can let up on the accelerator. We can make it to our destination safely. Thank the Lord for that, rather than to be in a giver and a madhouse way of doing and saying things that ought not to be said. That would not lead anybody to the Lord, not lead anybody to follow his right way, if they were to actually hear what we've said and what we've noted to them. When we find ourselves with the sting of sin, it reminds us that we need to be people who are different than what we're thinking to be, what we're planning to be. In fact, back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12, and also in Proverbs 16, verse 25, the same words are noted. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. When we talk about a way that seems right, it seems good, it seems fine, and I want to practice that way, it may bring us the stings of sin. It may bring us a sting that reminds us, whoa, there's a God who's over my life, and there's a way that I need to walk differently, there's a way I need to talk differently, there's a way that I need to do differently that I'm fixing to do. And as a result of that, I can make a real change in my way of life. I can make a real successful way of life. When the power of life and death is in the tongue, I need to be cautious what I say and how I use my tongue. Because I may incite someone to draw out a gun or draw out a knife, become a person who hates me for the rest of his life. I may be an individual who, by my words, have shut the door of opportunity to that person's soul forever and a day. Let me be a person who chooses words that will be helpful and good, and as a result, follow God's way. And if I love him and keep his commandments, then I'll follow him in teaching others the words that I need to use in my daily walk of life. And I can enjoy that way in a profound manner. I won't have the sting associated with death many times in my life because of my choice of words that are given. Ultimately, someday I'll pass by that time of my passing, and I'll meet the Lord of heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10, he notes us, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done while in the body, according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore, he says in verse 11, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And then goes on to talk about that new man in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. That new man that is in Christ Jesus. That new man who gives us great hope beyond the grave. That new man that's in the Lord made possible by him because we did what? Instead of following our way that seemed right, we followed his way that was right. We followed him in everything. As a result of that, we followed him in believing in John 8, chapter 20, verse 24. And in repenting of our sin, turning away from our sin, as he noted in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. We publicly, unashamedly confessed our faith in him being the Son of God in Matthew 10, verse 32. And we went to be baptized into Christ in a pool of water, in a pond, in a lake, in a river. We went to be immersed into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6. When we were buried with him by baptism into his death, we were then raised with him to walk in newness of life. He went along with us throughout life's highway. And here I am at the time of passing. And instead of there being a sting in my life that I look back to the victory that is in Christ Jesus. And as I look back to that victory and thankfulness of it, I realize a life that has been lived in keeping with the love of the Lord. For if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And as I'm keeping his commandments in life, I see the benefit of gentle words that turn away anger. But grievous words stir up wrath. Proverbs 15:1. I see the benefit of doing God's will in his way. And as a result, I am overjoyed to meet him face to face someday. Let me ask of you, in the following of God's will and God's way, are there not some things that he's told us to love that really will help us? Take you back to the book of Proverbs, in chapter 6 and verse 4. It tells us that wisdom that's to be loved and deeply appreciated, it tells us that wisdom will preserve thee, and the love of her will keep you. Love wisdom. What will wisdom do for me? Will it make me happy? Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and he that getteth understanding. In Proverbs Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 24 and 25. He knows the wrong that is done. He said, whosoever commits adultery with a woman hath not understanding. It's not a wise thing to do. He that commits adultery with a woman hath not understanding. He that doeth this doeth it to his own shame. A wound and dishonor. You see the stingings? The stingings are involved there. A wound and dishonor shall he receive. And it shall not be easily wiped away. He goes on to talk about the jealous man, full of rage, and how that he will be vindictive. Very likely the context there being, he'll be vindictive about the man who's taken advantage of his loved one, and now has entered into sin. But continuing that thought, he goes on into Proverbs chapter 7, and describes there a young man, he says, devoid of wisdom and understanding. What does he have? Does he have money in his pocket? Yes. Is he success in his mind? Yes. Does he have the ability or strength in his body? Yes. What does he not have? Wisdom and understanding. Now, he hasn't been a person who's loved wisdom and been kept by wisdom. Proverbs 6 and 4. He's a person who doesn't have wisdom and understanding. So what's he doing now, Proverbs 7? He's walking down the lane of a city, and he has there a strange woman who looks upon him, and longing eyes she has for him, and she steps out to talk to him and says, I have sought you all of the day. Then she explains a thing, saying, let us take our fill of love. But it's not love. Understanding will give him the idea. This is not love. This is lust. This is going to hurt. This is going to sting. This is going to be a terrible situation. But she says, let us take our fill of love. My husband's going on a journey. He's taking a whole satchel of money. He's buying and selling in a far-off place. He'll not be back for many, many days. I have strewn aloes upon my bed today. Sweet-smelling perfumes and the like. Come and let us have our fill of love. The scripture there, Proverbs 7, says, with her words, she forced him. The words have an effect. If we obey the Lord and recognize that wisdom, and we recognize that way of talking, a soft answer, a gentle answer, turned away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Then I would be speaking different words than I'm doing. I'm speaking different ways. He would recognize the flattery that's being said to him in this occasion in Proverbs 7. Instead of with her words, she forced him. He goes on to tell about, he says, about this woman. He says that many strong men have been slain at her house. Men who would not otherwise have done this. Men who would not otherwise, in their wisdom, have turned away from it. But here is a wonderful person in their eyes, filled with feelings. And he hath not understanding. And he'll do this to his own shame. A wound and dishonor shall he receive. How important it is to be a wise individual, to love wisdom. Now, Jesus, our Lord, came to this earth to teach us and show us right things of the Lord. And of course, the idea of us being born on this earth, much like Jesus was born on this earth, is the idea that we come to this earth not really being taught yet, not really having those words of understanding. But along the way, hopefully we'll get those words of understanding from a mom and dad, from a grandma and grandpa, from somebody who's really a trusted friend to our lives. We may have have a few years, which we don't have that, but certainly there's a wonderful spiritual man. He coaches in our lives. And he coaches us baseball or football or basketball. And that coach has a way of talking about how we live, how we behave that are right and righteous and good. As we begin to learn those two things, God wanted life to be the way he's going. He wanted us as we were born to have the right kind of food, not poison. He wanted us to live and not die. He broke the heart of God for anyone to come to this earth so weak and frail in physical ways that they would be dying. But he has a great home for the soul, for that individual. That individual is innocent. And Jesus plainly used that individual by telling you and me in Proverbs 8, rather in Matthew chapter 18, and beginning verse 4, that we are people who be converted and become like a little child, or we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it is that we find a great love for that child. Being like that little child is not like a little sinner, but like the wonderful blessings of God, of righteousness and forgiveness. And here is a little child who dies, and the Lord tenderly calls and cares for that one to come to his presence. Heaven forevermore, described as a place that's undefiled, reserved in heaven for you, as he spoke to the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. So it is that we have a great, wonderful Lord who cares for us and who wants us to love his Son. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll follow my way, and you'll be wise. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 22, there were those who stepped up to Jesus to ask him, what's the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus talked about, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Then he goes on to say, he that hears these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto, you got it, a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the winds came and blew, and the flood descended and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. These sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The same winds and waves came, blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What's the difference in the two? The difference in the two is not just the rock that the man built on that was wise, or the sand that the man built on that was foolish. The real teaching was in the question and in the statement made. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, versus he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. If we do what the Lord says in regard to the way of loving wisdom, we will be wise as we go out in life. We will be wise enough to do something with our sins, knowing that we do sin. 1 John 1 will tell us that we find ourselves defaming God if we say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We make God a liar. For he has plans by which we can be delivered from sin. But if you confess your sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now you need to first get into a fellowship with the Father and the Son, as we've already mentioned in our lesson. Faith, repentance, and confession, and baptism into Christ, begin to live with him, live for him. That's the way in which you and I come into the Lord. And these are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, 1 John 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. They're already in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. And if we confess our sins, verse 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That is not true for those that are not yet in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. They've not yet come into the fellowship with the Father and the Son. They've not yet obeyed the gospel of life. Christ. As a result of that, they're outside. They don't have the right and the privilege and the freedom to come into confessing their sins, and the Lord is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. These that are in fellowship have a wonderful blessing. The things I failed to do today that ought to have done, sin. The things that I have done that ought not to have done, said, or acted upon, these things are sin. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The things that I did not do, I don't remember not doing. I don't remember that thing, but I remember that there are things left undone, Lord. Forgive me of that. Help me to see that in some providential way. Help me to see what I can do yet tomorrow. And as a result of that, I find a wonderful blessing, a promise from him. I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm wise once again. I'm understanding once again. I'm doing what he said to do. And I expect the promise that he said he would fulfill. Wonderful is the way to live in this life in that way, and the hope of the soul for you and for me. Are you living that way? Are you yet in the fellowship of the Father and the Son? That fellowship of the Father and the Son has Jesus speaking to you today. He says, if you believe that I am he, you will not die in your sins. But if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. So your faith in him moves you to repent of sin, turn from sin. Confess your faith in the Lord as he asked you to do in Matthew 10:32. And find that baptism into Christ, a newness of life that you can begin to serve him. And as you begin to serve him with that wisdom that you now love, a wisdom of understanding that you now love. And when you do things that are not right and good in your sight, or fail to do the things that are right and good in your sight, day by day, sometimes hour by hour, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.